Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Sanhedrin Lamed Aleph. We begin on Lamed Aleph Beis, six lines off the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Eidus Hamakcheshes, Zu Azoy Bebedigos, Ksheira Bedinim Omnes. So we know that, we briefly mentioned it back on Daf Beis. We cross-examine witnesses. And actually, we have two categories. One is called chakirois, basic questions, crucial questions. What time? Location, right? And then there's something called bedikos, secondary questions, more detailed questions, which aren't really, you can't really call them critical questions or vital questions, but we try to, go there as well, get as many details as we could, and that is primarily pertaining to dinei nefashos. Issues involving, death penalty cases. But when it comes to dinei mamonos, chachamim lower the bar, so to speak. We don't want to make it too difficult because people will find a hard time lending, knowing that ultimately they're going to have to go through a grueling process. You know, their witnesses are going to have to be subject to cross-examination, and makes it more difficult for people to be agreeable to lend money. So, generally speaking, we don't really apply, this high level of cross-examination to dinei mamonos. But let's say there was a contradiction between the Edom. It's a bit more tricky because they're contradicting each other. Perhaps they didn't have to submit to this process, right? Perhaps they didn't have to go there. But once we're there and they're contradicting each other, that sheds doubt on their account, on their story. The Edom are contradicting each other pertaining to secondary details. Still, Ksheira bedinei mamonos. When it comes to monetary litigations, we can still accept their testimony. Amar Rava, with limitation. Mistavar milsei de Rav Yehuda. It's probable that this is only pertaining to secondary, less than important facts. For instance, Be'echad Oimer Ba'anaki Shechayra, Reuven speaking about a black wallet that was used to lend the money. Be'echad Oimer Ba'anaki Nevana, Shimon speaking about a light, white one. Okay, Mishkeferlach. But if we speak about, if they're contradicting each other, there's a discrepancy regarding the actual ikar, the core of the story. He lent them money. What kind of money? Old money, black money, or fresh glistening money? Reuben's speaking about a dark coin, he's speaking about a light coin. It doesn't smell right. Ain mitzdarf, you can't combine them. So wallet, okay. Perhaps they weren't paying attention, but the actual money, I mean, that's the core of the story. Really? So again, that's regarding dinei mamonos. We give them some leeway. But dinei nefashos, we set a very high bar, and any sort of contradiction nullifies them, even when it comes to secondary facts, like color of the wallet involved in the crime. Really? When it comes to dinei nefashos, more strict, any sort of contradiction, even less than vital facts are critical. V'amar v'chizda, however, v'chizda says, echad amir b'sayif hargay, v'echad amir barir and hargay, pertaining to a murder case. One aide speaks about him using a sword. The other one speaks about some sort of spear as the murder weapon. Ain't that nothing? That's not coinciding, that's not Eidus Mechuvenes. Rashi says the reason why the Gemara relates to the Lashon Nachayin, it's based on the Pasuk Emes Nachayin Hadavar. Look, it has to be true and established and confirmed as accurate. Well, this is not so. It doesn't meet the standards. But Echad Oimer Kelev Shechayrim Echad Oimer Kelev Levanim. But suppose that the discrepancy regarding the murderer's clothing, what kind of color of clothing it was, black, white, that's still okay. Even dinei nefashos. And that doesn't really work with Rav Yehuda, who seems to tell us that by dinei nefashos, we have high standards, even secondary details are important and cannot be contradicted. Gavra, Gavra Karamis, you're right. So you ask him from Rav Chizda and Rav Huna, we have different opinions. He says it's critical, he says it's not. Nardoi Amri. In Nardo, they said, I feel the echad. In contrast to Rav Yehuda, who says that discrepancy by Dine Mamonis is only allowed up to a certain point. If it's pertaining to the actual core story, you can't tolerate discrepancies. In our day, they stretch it a bit further. Dine Mamonis were so easy that even discrepancy between the Edom regarding core facts, black money, white money, that's okay. Come on. So whose shita are we following? Who's this in line with? Well, if you recall yesterday, we had a machlokes regarding two Edom. Reuven speaking about a loan that he saw on Monday between these parties, and Shimon speaking about a loan that he saw between these parties on Monday. According to Reb Shimon Kochi, you can combine them, because after all, they're both speaking about the same concept, he owes him money. So Narado, he felt the same way about the type of money. It was US dollars, Canadian dollars, who cares? At the end of the day, he owes him the money. And therefore it works. How could you compare the two halachis? Shimon Korcha is allowing it when there's no contradiction. It's only about different events, but not, they're not contradictory. Right? Then you could sort of combine and draw out the, you know, the common concept. But if they're both speaking about the same event, and there's a very vital, crucial discrepancy in terms of what kind of currency it was, me, Omar, where do we find that it works? Who says Rabbi Shua would allow it in that case? So what is Naradai based on? Elahu the Amar ki Aitana, rather it's based on the following Tanya that allows even this to go through the door. The Sana of Rabbi Shimon Lazar. So he says like this, Lenechuk b'sham b'sil, there's no machlekes between b'sham b'silal. When we have a discrepancy in terms of the loan amount between two pairs of witnesses, we have two teams of witnesses, two and two. One pair, one team is speaking about a $200 loan issued between Reuven and Shimon. And the other pair is speaking about only $100. Are these Edom contradicting each other? No. Because within 200 you have 100. So they're both admitting that there was a $100 loan. So we don't consider that a contradiction, and therefore he has to pay up $100. There's no machlokes. When do we have machlokes? Within the same team. Al kas achas. You have one pair of Edom, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is speaking about seeing $100 change hands, and Shimon is speaking about $200 that got transferred at that very moment. There's such a disparity between the accounts, you can't combine them. No. Within 200, you have 100. Yesh b'chal masayim mana. So they're both in agreement about 100. So you can at least implement that. So likewise, say Naradai, you know, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is speaking about $100 Canadian dollars. He's speaking about US dollars. Okay, let's say there's parity. It's worth the same, okay? Who cares? Even though there's an outright contradiction in the core story. Well, it's just like Beshama Vesila, just like the case we just spoke about the amount. We take the commonality between them and we go with it. So he owes him $100. Okay, another case where we could combine diverging stories. Reuben is speaking about a barrel of wine that was lent to this fellow. Shimon is speaking about a barrel of oil. Very different story, right? Can we combine them? Have a there was a story as such. Va'asil kameder Rab Ami was brought to Rab Ami Chayvi, Rab Ami Shlomi lechavisat hachamra, migoy chavisat hamishcha. So oil was more expensive. So Rab Ami was machayev, the defendant to pay to the plaintiff chavisat hachamra, a barrel of wine, migoy chavisat hamishcha, from within a barrel of oil. Basically, what he's saying is, I understand there's a disparity between the stories, between the two Edom, but they both agree, they're both in full agreement that he owes him the value of a barrel of wine. And one Ed is saying even oil, but at least wine they agree, so he has to pay that. Kiman, whose opinion is this working with? Shimon Lazar, right? That says that 200 and 100, you could at least obligate him to pay 100. Really? Perhaps it's only over there that he would say it works, because amounts can be manipulated, right? within every $200 lies $100. So you can just sort of accept that part of the testimony, and they're both speaking about $100, so fine. But ki ay gavra mi amar, but here, it's different materials. One aide is testifying about oil, the other one about wine. How in the world could you combine that? Oh, apparently we're speaking not about materials, we're speaking about value. One aide says that you admitted to him that you owed him the value of a barrel of wine. The other one speaks about the value of a barrel of oil. So both speaking about money. So that works, because you can just sort of get the common denominator. At least this much all agree that he owes him, and he has to pay that. One final story about a contradiction between the Edom. Echad Oimer B'dutel Yoinim. So two Edom walk into Bezin. We saw a loan issued, but he's speaking about happening on the top floor. He's speaking about happening on the bottom porch. Does that work? This type of story was brought to Rebbe, and he accepted it. And he combined it because they're both in agreement that he owes him the money. Whether it happens here, whether it happened there, is irrelevant. Okay, one final point in the Mishnah. So there was a whole debate in the Beis Din, right? And this Dayan actually favored a certain, you know, party. He sided with him. But he was overwhelmed. He was outnumbered by the rest of Dayanim, who ruled against this person. So now he wants to sort of clear his name. He wants to go to the Baal Din and say, you know, actually, I was on your side. You know, I'll do that. That's Rechilus, because he's generating negative vibes against the other Dayanim. How do we know that when the Dayan leaves the Beis Din, Yoimai should not approach the litigant and sort of chum me up with him? And really, I was on your side. My friends were against you. What could I do? I was outnumbered. You can't do that. Another point, you're divulging secrets, confidential information. You can't do that. There's a story about a Talmid, a certain Talmud. It was rumored about him. The Goli Milsa. He revealed confidential information to Itma Bevidrasha, which was discussed in the Beis HaMedrash. 22 years later, 22 years after the fact, he divulged a secret. That was such a serious offense that he got expelled from the Beis HaMedrash. Afki Rav Ami took him out of Beis HaMedrash. Amar, he says, Dein Galei Raza. He's a secret spiller. Galei Raza. And then he's a Mishnah. Kol Zman Shemevi Raya. Okay, let's say the Beis Din concluded, issued a verdict, but then a week later one of the Baal Edinim comes running. Oh, I found something, a document which supports my position. I found Edom to present my case. Seiser. He can undo the whole verdict and they have to restart. Seiser Sadin. Amrle, but let's say Dayanim issued a deadline. He says, you know what, you have 30 days to produce any documents, you know, that you wish to bring. Amrle kol ra'ayah sheyesh techa. Have you can bring me kan ashleishim yaim until 30 days. Okay, matzav ashleishim yaim. He discovered them within 30 days. Great, soyser, you can undo the verdict. Lach ashleishim yaim, but it's past 30 days, past the deadline, and the soyser, it's too late. That's the Tanakam. Omar b'shim gamliel. What could he do? I mean, he found the document a month later, 2 months later. I mean, why would you close him out? Mayas says, what do you want him to do? Shalei matzav ashleishim. He matzav lach ashleishim. He didn't discover it right away. He found it only 30 days later, so he still has a right to overturn the trial. Next machlokes. Amar lo yhave edim. So let's say the Beis Din tells the Baal Din, you know what? Do you have any witnesses to propose? He says, no, sorry. Vamar engli edim. Have raya. Okay, could you bring any other proof? Do you have access to any other proof? He says, no, sorry. It's just me and myself. Vamar engli raya. And sure enough, a week later, he shows up with a hefty file of documents. He brings a whole truckload of edim. We don't accept it because it smells fishy. Suddenly he discovered his Edom. It sounds like it was all concocted. No, who says? Maya says, what do you want from this fellow? He didn't know that he had Edom. He put an ad in the paper. Suddenly he got a truckload of Edom. Forgot that he had the, you know, documents and proofs. He discovered the Raya, so it's never too late. However, all agree in the following case. We have strong indication that it's all fabricated because he's in the Beis Din, right? And so far so good. He's not producing any Edom, any Raya. It seems like, you know, he rested his case, okay? Whatever he had, he already, you know, revealed and presented. And he sees, suddenly, he sees that the court is siding against him. He's about to lose the case. Rosh Mishchai B'din. Vamar, suddenly he gets up and says, you see those people in the spectator section? Come on over. I have a couple of witnesses over there. Kirvu, plenty, come plenty. Come over. Yeduni, and they'll testify for me. Or suddenly he pulls something out of his pocket. He pulls something out of his case. Hareze in a klum. We ignore it because clearly it's a farce. Otherwise he would have told us about it earlier in the case. So basically we have two machlokes in the Mishnah. In the first case, he was given a 30-day deadline. Chacham say it's a hard deadline, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. You can always say I discovered something afterwards. Next machlokes. He clearly indicated that he has nothing to show, nothing to tell. And suddenly he comes up with something. Chacham say, ain't a klum, we ignore it. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, you know what? It's very possible. It could happen that he discovered something after the fact. Okay? And therefore we accept it. Amar Rav Barfun, halacha, how do we pass him? Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel. That's pertaining to the first machlokes. That he can still come back after the 30-day deadline. V'am Rabba Barav Huna, ayin alach gedibra chachamim. The same chacham followed by saying, we don't accept the chacham's opinion that it's a hard deadline. Well, Pshita, obviously, he's saying the same thing again and again. Kibbun Dama, once you say alach kibshim amliel, we extend the deadline for him. Immediately you're done, don't we already know that we don't accept the chachamim who disagree with this opinion? They're alach kibra chacham, so why repeat this again? Well, the time perhaps I would think, how amin lachatchila. If you would only say halach kibshim amliel, yeah, preferably we go with that route. Avol di evet shapritami. But let's say Chacham did not follow that approach. And 30-day deadline, they shut the door and they concluded that they did not undo the case. So, but the evet perhaps it worked. Hamashma, the point is, no. We don't accept the Chacham's opinion. The evet, even if the bezin followed that track, madrin levi, undo the verdict. Amalei havi edim shum amliel. So now we approach the second discussion. That the Baal Din had indicated there is nothing to show, and suddenly, a week later, he comes up with a raya. Chacham say, unacceptable. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we accept. Am Rabba Rav Huna, once again, Rabbi Yechanan. He quotes Rabbi Yechanan, in this case, we paskin like the Chachamim. Halach the Chachamim, because once he said he has nothing to show, we don't accept anything. Am Rabba Rav Huna, Am Rabbi Yechanan. So again, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan. Then on the flip side, Ein Halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't pass like that. Shita, we don't allow him to bring to present his evidence in Bezdin after having already shut the door. So once again, the same question. Why the redundancy? Once we say we're going like the Chachamim, automatically we're not going like Pshita, Kivad Amar Alki Chachamim. Once he said we follow the Chachamim, Meili Dana, I know on my own, Dein Alacha, Kivshim Amnil. The answer is like this. Why do you have to stress that in this instance, strictly in this case, we don't pass him like Rabban Shimon Migamlil? Hakamash Malon, he's trying to tell us that by he, only in this case, Ein halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't have paskin like that. Habekulu, but elsewhere, wherever else we find Rav Shimon Gamliel speaking in the Mishnayos, his shita is what we go with. Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lafuk miyo, as opposed to another quote from Rabbi Yechon, which indicates that we don't always accept Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. That Rav Chanan, Rabbi Yechon, k'makam sheshana, Rav Shimon Gamliel should say, where we find that Tana now Mishnah, halacha k'maisa, we accept his opinion, except for three cases. Chutz mi arev, v'tzaydan, v'raya achroina. Raya achroina is the second case in our Mishnah, where he's presenting a raya, and it's the second of the two discussions, raya achroina. So it's this one case that we don't accept his shita, and also arev and tzaydan, so three in total. And otherwise, we accept his shita elsewhere. Whereas Rabba Barav Huna, Rabbi Yechanan said, no, everywhere we accept the shita, except for one case over here. But Arev and Sidon, we still accept Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita, so that's the difference between two accounts of Rav Yechanan. Okay, so bottom line is, you have two machlokes in the Mishnah. They gave him a deadline. Could he go past the deadline? Chacham say no. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says yes, and we pass him like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In the second case, where the Baal Din himself admitted that he has nothing to show, and suddenly he shows up with proofs and witnesses and documents. In this case, we do not paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, rather we paskin l'chachamim, that once he closed the door, it's over. But we have exceptions to that. Ahu Yenuka, there was a story about a small orphan, a yosin. Tabul Adina committed Rav Nachman, he was taken to a dinterer to Rav Nachman regarding some sort of issues that pertain to his father's dealings. Omar Leis, Rav Nachman asked the yosin, Islach Sadi, do you have any proof? Do you have any edim that your father paid up this loan? Omar Leis says, no, sorry. Islach Rai, do you have any documents to? Any receipts? Omar Leis, the yosin said, Loi. Chayvi, Rav Nachman, said, okay, you have to pay up. Have a kibachi ve'ozl, so he's walking out crying. Shamu anechinshi, so people saw him, noticed him, and it aroused compassion. They engaged the youngster in conversation. Omar Leis, so they heard the story. They said, actually, you know what? We can help you. Ananya Dina and Bimila Davuch. So there were two of them there. They said, actually, we have first-hand knowledge about your father's death. We know that he paid it up. Come back to the Bezdin. So is it too late? Because the child had already said, indicated there's nothing to show. Amar Rav Nachman, no. This is an exceptional case. In this case, even the Chachamim would agree it's not too late. But in this type of case, Afilu Rabbanu, Moedim Rabbanu agree it's not too late. You know why? What does a child know about his father's business dealings? The Yenuka Bimil Davua, a child relating to his father's dealings, he has no knowledge in that. So we have no reason to believe that the Aiden that he's bringing today are liars. Just because the child didn't know about them, he had a good mazel. He found them down the road. Here comes another story that occurred in Rav Nachman's Bezn. There was a story about this woman, the Nafak Shtorah Metusa Yoda. So she was sort of a third party. She was entrusted with a loan document. So the lender and the borrower gave her the document for safekeeping. So she told Rav Nachman, you know what? I'll tell you some interesting news. Yodana by Shtorah, I have first-hand information that this document is paid up. It's paid up. Him and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman believed her, accepted her story, and absolved the loiva. That's it. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. Turned to Rav Nachman. Why is she believed? I mean, it's a legal document, fully signed, certified. I mean, like, why is she believed to say it's paid up? Omali Rav Rav Nachman, come on. Rabbi, are you following Rabbi Shita? We had this machlekes in Bava Basra. How does one transfer ownership on a document? Just by merely transferring the document, that's it? That's enough? Is that what you're saying, basically? So, you know what? You have to believe her. Otherwise, if she would be lying, she would just say it's hers because she has it in her possession. Is that what you're going with? Amalei Shani Yochai says, no, you don't have to come on to that point. Here it's different because all would agree, even the Chacham that say you can't just transfer ownership of a shtar by physical transfer, you have to write a shtar on the shtar and indicate ownership. So even with that opinion, she still believed. The boy Kalte have a simple reason why she's believed. Because if she wants, she could have just burnt it. She was lying about the repayment of that loan. She could have just made the shtar conveniently disappear. So she has that migu, she has that ability, so you have to believe. Yikudamri, it was yet another version of the story. Loyhemner Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman refused to accept her story. And he allowed the Malva to collect with the shtar. Amalei Rabbi Rav Nachman, say Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, why? I mean, she has a migu. It's in her hands. She could have just burnt the shtar and nobody would have known about it. No. Kivan de Yischazek bebeidina. The answer is once the shtar was certified by the Bezdin, no ifs or buts. We don't say, well, she's believed to negate a fully certified document. Doesn't matter what kind of argument she has. She could have done this, she could have done that. The shtar is fact, finished. Really? Simpon sheishal of Eidim. Simpon is a receipt. The loiva has a receipt that he paid up certain document that the Malva has. And there are Edom signed on the receipt. Iskai mechasamav. So, yeah, you just go back to the Edom, certify their signatures, and make sure that the receipt is legit, right? Ain't all of Edom. Let's say there are no Edom on the actual receipt. But, the saving grace is that the receipt is not in the hands of a Leva. It's in the hands of a third party. That's why it's called a shlish, because it's a third party, right? And the Malveh and the Levah both agree that they both entrusted this fellow. They deposited the receipt with him. Or let's say another variation of this halacha. Let's say there's a receipt written on the actual loan document after the signatures of the edim. The lender who's in possession of that shtar presumably would never let anybody put his comments on his shtar. Certainly not that the loan was paid up. So we say in this case it's kosher. We believe it, and the leva does not have to repay the loan. Almoshlishmen. So you see, in the case of third parties, believed to undo the effect of a real loan document based on his testimony, based on the fact that he has the receipt, right? Even though he's going against a certified shtar milva, tiyufta derachm tiyufta. So that's a kashan of Nachman that holds that a shlish is not going to go against a certified shtar. Here we see that he is believed. Kiyosar of Dimyam Rav Yechanan. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah regarding the Baldin coming up with new evidence later on. So Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yechanan. Kiyosar of Dimi. When Rav Dimi arrived from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yechanan, he quoted from his Rebbe Rav Yechanan, Lo'ilo maybe Raya v'soyser. The Baldin can always bring a Raya, can always try to undo the verdict based on new testimony, new revelations. Achi statim tanoisiv. At what point does that stop? Until he tells the Bezdin, I have nothing to show. Right? Nothing to say for myself. And then suddenly he turns around and he sees things are heading the wrong direction. He turns around to his good friend sitting in the stands. Come. Testify on my behalf. Which is a very extreme case, right? That's the case, the last case in the Mishnah. Where even Rav Shmuel Gamliel agrees that that's fishy, it doesn't work. So now we have a little bit of a problem here with the halacha, because Hagav Akasha, the Kasha seems to be inherently contradictory. Whose shita are we following? You see, the focus here is on the second case of the Mishnah, right? Rayach Raina. He was asked to provide proof, to provide evidence. He said, I have nothing. I have none. And a week later, he shows up with something. Chacham say, too bad, too late. However, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, no, not too late. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah. But all agree, if within the actual Bezdin itself, 1 minute he said he has nothing, and suddenly he turns around and he invites his good friends over to testify, that's certainly a fishy development. We don't believe him. Even Rabban Shimon Gamliel agrees it doesn't work. So now let's go back to Rabbi Yechanan's quote. Hog of Akash, Amr si statim tanoisev. First you start by saying, well, if he indicated that he has no tainus, he has no claims, he has no evidence, that rests his case, he can't bring any more. That's going like the Rabbanon, who say, that's it. Once he indicated that he has nothing to show, he can't produce any more. Asam Rabbanon. Because according to Shimon Gamliel, in this case, he could come up later with new evidence. They're going like the Rabbanon. Okay, but Hada Amr, then you come back and you tell me that only if he displays very, very questionable conduct, where suddenly he reminds himself that he has Edom sitting behind him, then we say, oh, we slam the door on him. Kiru ish plenty beiduni. That doesn't work. That's an extreme case, which works, which is in line with Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's more in line with his opinion, the Chachamim. Asan Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says only in this case we block the door, we block him out. But otherwise, we accept it. So, who are we following? Rabbanan or Rav Shimon Gamliel? Perhaps we'll say, Kula, the whole statement, quoting Rav Yechanan, is going in line with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Uprushkom Efarish. And just explaining himself. It's no contradiction. We have to read it like this. A litigant can always bring more evidence. My, what does he mean to say, Achi statim tanoisim, unless his argument was laid to rest? He's referring to this very case. We're within the same session, suddenly he discovered he has more resources. But otherwise, unless anything less than this extreme type of presentation can still work. So basically, we are following Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shita. Says, well, really? That in the second Machlokes in the Mishnah, we don't accept Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel's opinion. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Mishnah Seinu, where we find his sheet in the Mishnayos, we adopt his opinion, except for this case, Chutz Mi'ara V'tzayden V'rayach Reina, that's the Rayach Reina, that's the last case of Raya in the Mishnah. Elok Yosef Shmuel Yehuda and Yechanan, rather we have another quote from Rabbi Yechanan. Lo'ilo Mi'v'ray V'soyser, a person could always bring more Rayas and undo the process, Ach Yistatim Tanoisav, unless we have a situation of Yistatim Tanoisav, which is, the Chachamim's version of this Halach. V'yayim R'loi, for instance, the Dayanim told him, Havi Edim, you have Edim to bring? He says, no, sorry. V'yayim R'ayim Edim. Havi Raya, you have any other proofs, any other documents? I'm R'ayim, I have nothing to show. Ain't the Raya. So in that case, we don't, we don't accept any more documents. Aval, it's an interesting point. Even the Chacham would agree that if there's reason to believe that he's not really manipulating, it is really something new that he didn't know about at the time. Aval bo edim ninasayam, suddenly two edim show up from out of town, from far away. It's been discovered that his father's document satchel was sitting by somebody else, and suddenly he found proof, found documents to back up his story. In this case, even the Chachamim would agree. There's nothing fishy about this. Maybe Raiva says he can bring his proof and undo the case. You know, the story of my Baba Olva Shalom, Aliyah Shalom, used to say over one of her Zaydis, was pursued, he was a wealthy man, he was pursued by the priest, by the Goyim in town, and they trumped up a story that he borrowed money, he didn't pay back. And they set a court date, and he didn't have any, he paid back the loan, but he didn't have any proof. He had misplaced the receipt, and he was really beside himself. That night he had a dream that his father comes to him and he says, you know what, go up to the attic and you'll see on the side over there, you'll see a sack of shmatas, of things, put your hand inside and you'll find what you need. And he wakes up in the morning, first thing he does is bolts up to the attic. Indeed, there's a sack of old papers there, puts his hand in, he pulls out the receipt that he was looking for. Lo and behold, comes to the trial, prosecutor gets up and says, well, this Jew over here, he borrowed this huge amount of money, failed to pay back. The judge turns to the Yid. No, you have anything to say in your defense? The judge was not Major Oyev Yisrael, but, you know, he says, yeah, actually, and he pulls out this crumpled paper. He says, look, this is a receipt, a handwritten receipt from my lender. Look, I paid it back. And the judge was taken aback because he wasn't expecting this. He says, how'd you come up with this? He says, ah, I see that your Jewish God is a true God and our God is just shmatas, rags. True story. And he won the case. Okay, Kiyosar of Dima Raviach. So what happens? The person at the time didn't realize that he has access to documents. Suddenly he discovers something in the attic. His father's dream. Kiyosar of Dima Raviach. And here comes a new halach. So Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yechanan, HaToikev es Chaveiro B'din. Okay, we have Reuven and Shimon having a difficult Din Torah, and Reuven actually says it's a Baldin Kosh, a difficult fellow. And he's trying to make it difficult for his Baldin. He says, you know, I don't want to go to the local Bezna, I want to go to a different, I want to go to the big Bezna with the great Talmid HaChamim, I want you to be embarrassed in front of everybody. Toikev es Chaveiro B'din. Echadoyim Nidan Kan. One fellow is proposing that they go to the local Bezna. Echadoyim, the other one says, no, I want to go to the major convention. I want to embarrass you in public. Koyfen Oisai, listen to this. The Gemara later will tell us that the lender has the right to do that, because the borrower is committed to the lender. It's like an Eved. Koyfen Oisai, we'll force the borrower, V'yel Makavad, to accompany his litigant to the Grand Bezin. Amr Lefonav, Rav Leza. So Rav Leza turned to Rav Dimi, Rebbe, Misha Noisha. Rechavei Rimanev. So you mean to say, actually some say, Rav Leza was speaking to Rabbi Yechon, and he called him Rebbe. So when Rabbi Yechon said this halacha, so Rabbi Leza responded to him, is that fair to require him to travel along and spend $100 on the trip just because there's a $100 claim against him? I mean, it doesn't justify his expenses. So he has a $100 claim on his friend. So you're going to force him to spend $100 traveling expenses to satisfy the money claim. Rather, we force them both. No, none of his business. We force him to go to the local best. Itmar Nami, Amar Safra. The same Safra, Shnaim Shnaim Atzma Bedin. So they're having an intense disagreement. He wants to have a court case here locally. The other fellow is insisting that they go to the other place. You force him to conform to the local Bezdin. And let's say, you know, there's a point, because really the local Bezdin perhaps isn't on the same level, doesn't have the same level of knowledge or expertise. So what? They'll send their, if they have any questions, they'll go ask, they'll send a message and verify and get that information that they need from the, you know, next level Bezdin. That's okay. If they have to ask something to gain more clarity, they'll send a letter off to the other Bezdin. Fine. Now, Vim Omar Kisu Vitnuli. Let's say one litigant says, look, I'll go to the Bezdin, but I know they're not on the highest level, so I want the Bezdin. He tells the Bezdin, he doesn't say it out loud, but that's in his mind. He tells the Bezdin, Kisvu v'tnuli me'ezetam dantuni. I know you have a verdict that you issued. Fine, I'll accept it, but I want you to articulate in the verdict the reason behind the verdict. Okay, the argument, the legal argument that the verdict is based on. You know why? Because he wants to take that information and go to the higher Bezdin and confirm their information, right? Confirm their legal argument to ensure that it's really, justified. Kaisim noisimless, he has a right to ask for that, and they have to confirm, they have to give him whatever he asks for. Interesting point. So, if there's a Yavam who lives elsewhere, and the Yavama lives here, she wants his chalitza, she has to travel to him. Ad kama, how far does she have to travel? Arab army, afil mitveri litzipori. Even if she lives in Tveri, where the yeshiva over there is a greater yeshiva and their learning is a higher level, right? The bezin is a more chashiv bezin. She's compelled to travel to Tzipori to meet the yavam, because that's the halacha based on a pasuk or afkahana mikro. Where is that based on? It's a pasuk of a kor lizikne iroi. So his elders, his town elders, apparently it's taking place in his town. They will call him and discuss, the process. So Lezik Ne'iro, not her elders, not the elders of her town, so clearly she has to travel to his town. Omar Meimar, Hilchas HaKoyfin Oysoi, V'yelch Mokim Avad, back to the story of the two Baladinim, who are arguing about, venue, so we force him to go to the Mokim Avad, to the higher level Bezin. Omar Le Rav Ashi La Meimar, Rav Ashi Tenta Meimar, Omar Rav Leza Koyfin Oysoi, Dom Ne'iro, Rav Leza says, Nishtaza, he said that we force him to attend the local Bezdin. Oh, says the Gemara, listen to this. There's a big difference in terms of who is insisting on change of venue. When do we force the party to attend the local Bezdin? That's when the borrower is the one that's making issues. He's the one that wants to travel out. No, you have to attend locally. But if it's the Malve who wants a higher level court, Eved, then the Leiva is compelled to follow him there. Because Eved Leiva, Lishmal, a Leiva, in a way, is committed, he's like an Eved, he has to do the Malva's bidding, he lends him the money, he has to follow him to the local, to the Bezdin of his wishes. Okay, we conclude the parak with a story pertaining to this issue of a venue. Shalachu Lei Lamar Ukvu. So this message was sent from the Bezdin Eretz Yisrael in Tveria to the great Mar Ukva, who was a Av Bezin in Bavel. Shochle Mar Ukva. And he was a big tzaddik. He went through a tremendous challenge, Rashi says. Rashi says that, I'll just read it inside. It's around 15 lines from the bottom. This is a Motzasi B'Sefer Haggadah. Rashi brings the Sefer Haggadah. Shei Mar Ukva Bal Tshuva. Mar Ukva was Bal Tshuva. Shenosan Eina V'Isha Achas. He set his eyes on a certain woman. V'Hela Libay Tinoi. He was so pulled towards her that he fell ill. She was a married woman. She was forbidden for him. But what happened was, it turned out that he had access to her. She was in financial straits, and she came to borrow money from him. And he seized the opportunity to take advantage of her because of her compelling situation, she acquiesced to be with him. And he controlled himself. He overcame that desire of Bukhav HaShi'isra Patel Shalom, and he sent her off, presumably with a loan, and he did not bother her. And because of that, he was healed. And it was a tremendous sign that he overcame, and that brought him a tremendous schar in Shamayim. He was held in very high regard. From that day on, when he left, when he walked down the street, it was a spiritual flame over his head because of his nesayin, because of his tremendous righteousness. And that's why he's called Rav Nosson Tzotzisa. And that explains why in this story by us, they called him, we'll see, Ledezivle, they called him one, the one with the bright aura around him, because of this nair that was burning on his head, because of this tremendous tzitkus that he experienced. Wow. So Shalchel and Marukla, they sent a message to Marukla Ledezivle, the one who has this light, Kibar Bisya, like the son of Basya, Moshe Rabbeinu, who we know had a glowing face. So you have this glow. Okay, that was their sort of introduction. Okay, what's the message? First of all, Shalom, peace to you, okay? Then we have an interesting question. Ukvan HaBavli. There's this fellow called Ukvan from Bavel. Kval Kadmona, he came to complain to us about his brother. Yirmiyah, my brother Yirmiyah, Hevrilais HaDerech, he was dishonest with me. Something, some monetary dispute we have. V'imruloi. Okay, so this is our message to you. Please, over there in Bavel, tell Yirmiyah. V'imruloi. Hashi'uhu. V'yirapanenu b'tveria. Tell him that he better make up with his brother and force him to come present his case to us in Tveria, to come to the Bezin in Tveria, so we can deal with it. That was the message sent. So again, in Eretz Yisrael, they sent a message to Mar Ukva, please summon this fellow over to us in Eretz Yisrael. Asks the Mar Ukva Kasha. The message is a bit confusing, because Amras, first we say, Imruloi, that they instructed Mar Ukva to deal with it, which sounds like Alma Dainu Atun. Apparently, they're allowing the Bezin and Bavel to deal with it. And then it says, Hashiu, then it says, send them over here. Apparently they're trying to send them here. Apparently what they tell them is like this. Tell Yirmiyah, that he should deal with his brother over there and have you deal with the case. Itzayis. So if Yirmiyah is agreeable to that, tzayis, then okay. V'iloi, but otherwise, if he insists on coming to Eretz Yisrael, then he has a point. V'iloi, hashiu v'yir p'neinu v'tveria. You have to force his Baal Din to come join him in Tveria. Right? Like we said before, because he was a lender, right? And a lender has a right to do that. Rav Ashi Omar, here's a different pshat in what happened. Dinei Knesset Hava. It involved penalties and fines. And in Bavel, you can't deal with that. With Bavel, Leidainu Dinei Knesset, because you need smicha for that. So they have to import him to Eretz Yisrael and deal with him there. V'hoda Shoch Leihachi. So why did they initially indicate that it could be dealt with in Bavel? Why did they give that, you know, impression to Mar Ukva? Deal with him over there, if not, bring him here. If in any case, Mar Ukva could not deal with it, because it was Knesset. Just to give him that sort of regard, that really we hold you in high regard, and you're really capable of dealing with it, but technically you have to bring him here. To give him that kavod. Okay, so in conclusion, we have the Mishnah. Or before the Mishnah, we have the discussion about the contradictory edus and Dinei Mamonos. How far can the contradiction go and still reconcile, allow us to reconcile the edus? Rabbi gives us a certain parameter. He says, and Bedika is which are secondary details, a contradiction can still pass. Rava says we limit it only to non-core details, but Dinei Nefashos either way, it discredits the Edim. We had all kinds of variations of discrepancies and which ones work, which ones don't. Being careful not to reveal, divulge information from behind closed doors and secrets that were discussed in the Beis Medrash. The Mishnah speaks about basically two parts to the Mishnah regarding bringing more raya and more edim. Can it go past the 30-day deadline? Primogel says yes. We accept that shita. reverse course after having declared that he has no more proof to bring? Once again, we have a machlekes. In this case, we pass him like the Rabbanan, that once he indicated he has no more to bring, he's pretty much closed the door on himself. We have exceptions, like the case where Edim showed up from out of town, or something was discovered that his father had, you know, had some satchel of documents which his son didn't know about. Even Rabban would agree in that case, it's fair game to bring him into the Bezin. Then we had a question in terms of venue. We conclude that the Malva has the upper hand to force transferring the case to a higher venue. Levi does not have that ability. I mean, the story with Mar Ukva regarding a case transfer from Bava to Eretz Yisrael. Hadron Lachzer Beirer, all the best to you, and Aslacha Rabbah.